You are listening to a sermon by Henry Klippenstein, recorded on Sunday, August 23, 2020, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I somewhat appreciate this format. I just like the idea of sitting in the comfort of my living room and being able to share some of my thoughts and scripture with you in a relaxed manner. I'm always impressed when the speaker ponders all the lectionary reading for the day and then finds a common thread in them. I will not attempt that this morning. Because of the constraints of time, I will limit our study to just one of the lectionary readings, Matthew chapter 6, 16, verses 13 to 20. In fact, I will narrow it down even more to just one verse, namely verse 19. So I invite you, together with me, to explore the meaning of Jesus' seemingly preposterous pronouncement that I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, what in the world, or what in this world, is the meaning of all of that? Is Jesus seemingly substituting human authority for the authority of God in determining who enters the kingdom of heaven? If so, I do not at all find that very comforting. I would much rather cast myself on the mercy of God than on the fickleness of man in determining my destiny. But let us explore Jesus' statement a little more fully and consider whether it has any relevance for us today. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Who is the you to whom is given the keys? Specifically, Jesus is talking to Peter. And several weeks after this declaration, Peter does stand before thousands on the day of Pentecost. This simple fisherman opens the door to the kingdom of heaven for 3,000 people that day. Later, when Peter was in prison, he discovered that the keys to the kingdom could even open the most secure prison doors. But I question whether Christ bestowed upon Peter a degree of authority greater than or different from that which he gave the other disciples. As a matter of fact, among the apostles, it was James and not Peter who exercised administrative functions over the early church in Jerusalem. But if the pronouncement was made to all the disciples, perhaps it has relevance for us also as followers of Jesus. Specifically, how then are we to understand the keys to the kingdom of heaven as it applies to us? It is crucial to remember the timing of Jesus' pronouncement. It was made in response to Peter's bold confession. Jesus did not make it until after the disciples understood that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That God-given understanding or revelation seems to be a vital component to receiving the keys to the kingdom. But how does this binding and loosening play itself out in our lives? How are we involved in the bringing of healing into each other's lives, or even in the forgiving of sins? To help us understand this, I refer you to another scripture that we just heard this morning, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. The story of the healing of the woman subject to bleeding. To help me understand the connection between binding and loosening in this scripture, I'm indebted to Ronald Rollheiser and his book, The Holy Longing, a book that we studied in the Friday group until the study came crashing down with the current pandemic. You know the story well. It's included in all the synoptic gospels and various levels of detail. When Jesus was on earth, people were often healed and reconciled to God simply by being touched by him. So here in Mark's gospel was a woman who had suffered from internal bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all she had seeing every kind of doctor, but she only got worse. Finally, she says to herself, "If I but touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be saved." So that is what she does. She comes up behind him in the crowd and touches his cloak. Instantly, the flow of blood stopped and she was healed. Jesus, however, sensing that power had gone out from him, turned and asked, "Who touched me?" The disciples, in essence, responded, "Are you kidding? You being jostled in a crowd and you ask who touched me?" But Jesus continued to look around, and finally the woman, frightened, realizing that she had been healed, came forward and, as the scripture so beautifully puts it, told him the whole truth. Jesus then said to her, "Your faith has healed you. Be at peace." I love the metaphor that Rollheiser emphasizes, that the body of believers is the garment of Christ, bringing healing to those who come in faith to touch it. This text is a beautiful metaphor for the mystery of incarnation. Jesus did not desert us on Ascension Day. He is incarnate in the life of his followers. I love that metaphor because it so closely parallels my own experience here in our little fellowship. I vividly recall how immediately I was attracted to this fellowship 20-some years ago when we first attended. I had the feeling that here I could find healing and wholeness because I came to you wounded from a previous painful experience. And you have not disappointed. Over the years, we have felt non-judgmental acceptance, compassion, encouragement, and affirmation. Never more so than several weeks ago when I celebrated my 90th birthday. I felt so much love and affirmation. I want to thank you all for your kind thoughts and words. But affirmation does not necessarily translate into coddling. Most significantly, I have been profoundly challenged again and again. One example was Michael's meditation about the parable of the widow and the judge and the resulting dialogue. So I want to thank you all for being the garment of Christ to me. It has been said that the primary purpose in life is to learn how to love. I'll repeat that. The primary purpose of life is to learn how to love. It has been our experience that happens best in the loving and challenging Christian community. Eric and Gerda Kraus, you have recently joined our fellowship in Grace Newdorf. You will next Sunday. I pray that will be your experience also, that we will truly be the garment of Christ to continue to bring healing and wholeness as we touch each other in Christ, virtually or in reality. And Curtis and Lois, that is our prayer for you and your family, that we will truly be the garment of Christ for you to touch, to find healing and comfort and strength during this challenging time for you and your entire family. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.